This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're going to win 2 tickets to see the Washington Capitals. Thursday, the 31st of October, Halloween, next week. That's at Capital One Arena. They're taking on Montreal. For tickets and the complete cap schedule, go to thefandc.com/contests. Beltway Blitz coming up in just a moment. Good time to remind you that we're excited about the start of the football season like you are, but we do know that a lot of folks around us have probably lost a friend or family member recently. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kondorian Murad can guide you through the difficult probate administration process. They'll help bring clarity and closure to a loved one's estate if need be. Schedule a free consultation with their probate and estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. It is time for our Beltway Blitz on the Caps, the NFL, and the Commanders. So let's get started. Our buddy, the voice of the Capitals, John Walton. John, it is great to talk to you again, buddy. Hopefully you are feeling well, doing well. It's been awesome to hear you in the booth. How are you?
I'm doing well. Very good to be with you. And, yeah, hockey's good for the soul and good for all that heals you. So definitely glad to be back at it.
Well, we are pulling for you and behind you, my guy. Let's talk some puck. Tonight's the night for the Caps to try to get 2 points and get their first win of the season in Game 2. What do we need to know about the matchup?
Well, I think when you look at where this homestand is at, I mean, these are 3 tough teams. You look at the beginning of the year, you say, like, oh, it's great. You got 3 home games to start. You know, you've got New Jersey, a team that is thought to be a playoff team. You've got Vegas, who's thought to be a playoff team, and Dallas, who is a Stanley Cup contender, if not favorite, coming out of the West. So very tough stretch, and I think coming off the loss, you want to be able to try and generate a little bit more offense at 5-on-5. I thought the special teams were actually pretty good. You got the power play goal from Carlson, and it only took 10 seconds to do it. It was the Caps were 1-for-3 against the Devils. Penalty kill, shutting down Jack Hughes. That's not easy to do, and they did it pretty well. So I think the 5-on-5 stuff's where I'm looking at tonight, guys. Special teams, I would take what they did the other night, and I'd run with it.
John, this is my own weird early season complaint. I feel like this is always the case with the Capitals. I think there's a couple teams that have played 5 games. Maybe they're just the Devils have. Some teams have played 4. This is only the Capitals' 2nd game. It always feels like it's herky-jerky to start the season. Is that just me whining, or am I 100% correct with my tinfoil hat on?
It's weirder this year, I'll give you that, because you're the team that you played on opening night started in Prague, played 2 games, came home for their home opener, yeah, and was playing their 4th. So that was a competitive disadvantage. That was not great, but sometimes those things happen. Anytime that the games start in Europe ahead of the regular schedule, there's going to be a couple of teams out there. I think it was a little more acute this year because it was the team that the Caps had to face here on Saturday night, and you're trying to get your legs underneath you, and the adrenaline only carries you so far. I thought after the first 10 minutes that Jersey would look like a team that had played 3 or 4 games, and the Caps were still trying to find their footing a little bit. So hopefully now, if they're getting in a rhythm, it'll be a little different.
I'm also baking in just some time to get everybody on the same page here. I mean, there's been a ton of turnover this offseason, and it's unfortunate that they had so much money laying around because Oshie and Backstrom are likely done at this point. But this was the most active and aggressive they've been over an offseason, really in the Rock the Red era, frankly. So I can't imagine they're just going to hit the ground sprinting right away.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to that. I mean, it was nice to see Pierre-Luc Dubois get his first point as a Capital on Saturday against the Devils. A little bit of movement tonight where Andrew Mangiapane was on the top line with Ovechkin and Strome. He slides down to play with Henrik Lapierre and a guy who I guess is a new face, but he's not. And Jacob Vrana is going to make his season debut tonight. So I think when you've got a lot of guys, it's a shame Matt Roy got hurt in the game here in the second period Saturday. Kind of a Brooks Orpik type, real physical defenseman. Had missed one game in the last 2 years with L.A., and he's going to miss tonight's game here in game two of the season. So hopefully he's not going to miss too much time. But Dylan McElrath comes in for him. But, yeah, on the fourth line, Brendan Duhamel and Taylor Radish alongside Nick Dowd. And, you know, as you go across the roster and take a look at these guys, I mean, Jacob Chychrun playing with John Carlson. So, yeah, I think there's something to that. I mean, there's only so much you can do in a preseason, and a lot of these guys on a line together would play. But, you know, you didn't have everybody all out at the same time during the preseason. That really only happened last Saturday. So, yeah, I think there's definitely something to that.
John, with the new faces kind of getting folded in here, what are some signs where we go, okay, now it's clicking? Like, you know what I mean? Obviously, you win games. It's easy for rubes like me to say. But what are some of the in-game signs or some moments where we go, you know what, now they're comfortable with one another?
You know, what I really liked, Danny, the other night was a lot of times last year, the Capitals seemed to be stuck in neutral in their own zone. They had trouble breaking pucks out. They had trouble going from zone to zone. And I thought they weren't really all that bad the other night at trying to figure that out and get into the offensive zone. I think what they need a little bit more of, you know, the third line had a rough go the other night. You know, they were a -9, and they didn't play that much. So Sonny Milano is going to be a healthy scratch tonight. He was the victim there. But, you know, a little bit of a blending of the lines tonight. You want to be able to crash in and really create some havoc on the defense and force them to turn over the puck, get in on the forecheck, and then start to get some of those grade A chances. And I don't know that we really saw much of that the other night. A little, but not enough. It's tough against Vegas because their guys are big back there, and you've got to be able to move them around, and pressuring them is not easy. So if you're looking, if you're watching the game tonight and you're saying, okay, what do you need to see happen? I need to see forwards getting in quickly to pressure those D back inside the Vegas zone, force them to turn the puck over, and then get quick chances in front. Do that tonight. I think you're going to have a pretty good chance of winning the hockey game.
John, good to talk to you, buddy. Have a great call tonight.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
All right, be well. There's John Walton, who will be broadcasting here on The Fan as the Caps play the Golden Knights. Coming up in about 3 hours. Let's keep the blitz moving. Nate Davis covers the National Football League for USA Today, joins us now. Nate, why don't we begin with last night's game? The Jets lose. They needed it. Now they've traded for Devontae Adams. Where are you at on their chances to get back in the hunt?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, I think the Jets have the talent, Grant. I mean, the hole has been less than the sum of the parts so far. I thought this was a move they needed to make. You know, Adam said his hamstring is ready to go now. He might play Sunday night. But, I mean, they're all in, so they may as well be all in. You know, I think this makes Garrett Wilson and Alan Lazar even better players and gives Aaron Rodgers a guy that he trusts, and he can operate on that field with virtually no practice. And, I mean, you look at the last 2 weeks, you know, Rodgers basically trusted Mike Williams in high-leverage moments of both those games against the Vikings and Bills, and those passes wound up picked off, and Mike Williams didn't look like he was up he was up to the situation. So we'll see what happens. I mean, the schedule for the Jets is manageable, but they have to go out and get the result at this point. No excuses left.
What'd you make of the Bills getting Cooper?
Yeah, I mean, felt like they were playing Counter-Strike there, and I think that was a move that's probably going to serve them well. And again, I think it lets Keon Coleman develop maybe at a little bit better pace, puts Khalil Shakir in that wide receiver two role that's probably going to serve him well. And you get a guy who's, you know, in Adam's case, the Jets can decide whether or not they're going to hang on to him beyond this year. For Cooper, you know, the Bills pay a little less than the Jets did, but I mean, this is probably a 12-game rental 11-game rental for his part, but I think he solves a lot of problems there. I mean, he's used to playing in that weather, certainly a veteran who runs great routes and has speed, and you know, don't want to say he was checked out in Cleveland, but clearly you could see a lack of focus at time on the field with him. So I think that's a win-win for Amari and the Bills, not so much the Browns.
Speaking of the Bills, I mean, where do they rank in the AFC? What's your power rankings look like in the conference at this point behind 5-0 Kansas City? Who's got the best chance to knock them off as they go for a three-peat?
In the AFC? Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it with you guys last week. I mean, I think the Ravens are the scariest team right now. You know, I think Grant, this was something you and I debated a little bit last week, and Danny too. You know, I think the Ravens might legitimately be the number two team in the league right now, if you believe the Chiefs are number one, at least based on their resume. But I think that the Ravens are only getting better every week with the way that Derrick Henry continues to get integrated in that offense. And now you're seeing, you know, Mark Andrews get worked back in, Zay Flowers. I mean, I think the Ravens could ultimately be the team to beat. After them, you know, I think the Bills and the Texans are probably sort of neck and neck. And then you got a bunch of teams like the Jets and Steelers and others, the Chargers, that have a chance to get in the playoffs and maybe make some noise. But, you know, they got a ways to go, I think, before they kind of hit their full potential in those cases.
Sounds like the Steelers are going with Wilson. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I can't figure it out, Danny. I mean, they just lost another offensive lineman, center Zach Frazier. You know, Russell Wilson obviously has had a problem getting sacked for years. I don't know why you'd put him out there in that situation against a, you know, somewhat desperate Jets team, but one that can certainly wreck your offensive line. I think they brought Russell Wilson there to play. I guess they're going to give him an opportunity to play or give both guys to play on Sunday night, but I just don't know why you'd go away from what Justin Fields has provided in a 4-2 start, particularly given the component of his game where I think he can protect himself a lot better than Russell with fresh legs, and also just gives you that component on the goal line where he can convert red zone opportunities where Russ doesn't have that.
I think I'm the only person that cares about this. I will admit that before I ask the question. But, Nate, Tom Brady has been approved as a minority owner of the Raiders. So that's moving forward. We're about to be done there. Yet he's going to be calling games every week. Now, supposedly, he's going to have to forego some access. Maybe he won't get to do some of the meetings on Fridays or be at practices or whatever to kind of even the playing field. I just think that owners shouldn't be allowed to call games of other teams or their own team. I just think it's a weird precedent to set. What do you think?
I can see your argument, Grant. I think stipulations had already been made about whatever access he would get to Raiders games. I don't know really how many Raiders games he's going to be working anytime
soon.
But
to me, Nate, it's not just Raiders games. If he's calling a Chargers Broncos game, why should he get access to those organizations?
Yeah, I get it, Grant. I don't know. I mean, Tom Brady's obviously meant a lot to this league. That those considerations have been taken into account. You know, he is a minority owner. I don't know how many other minority owners that we could name across the league and how much sway they have. But, I mean, it's also Tom Brady, and we know he's the most competitive, probably the most competitive guy out there. It's probably what made him such a great quarterback. And he, you know, you would expect that he would probably filter stuff back to his quote-unquote team. But, you know, I haven't done a deep dive on that one. We're letting Jared Bell deal with that one today. But this certainly has been considered by the NFL, and it sounds like they're going to sign off on it.
Nate, thank you as always, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
see you,
Nate.
My friend.
See you, buddy.
Hit that local 53 sounder, please. Okay, Kevin Sheehan joins us to talk about the local foosball, gentlemen. Kevin, Grant and I both, I don't want to speak for him, but neither of us really felt down after the loss this past Sunday. Would have rather won the game, obviously. But to us now, we're both sitting here going, the division ain't that good. Washington may be the best team. So I don't want to say no harm done, but as close to that as it can be. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, they're the favorite now, guys, pretty much across the board to win the division. And, you know, that's a combination of, you know, they've got the best quarterback and the best coach right now in the division. That's probably not even debatable. And the other teams are kind of falling apart. So that makes sense. In the larger landscape of the NFC, you've got San Francisco, you've got Detroit, you've got maybe an NFC North runner-up. You know, Grant's into the Falcons and how lethal they've become offensively. But look, they're good. Sunday, I thought they could win the game going in. They're just too limited defensively right now to really bang it out with the better offensive teams, and that's a limiting factor. But, you know, let's just enjoy it because it's been a while. It feels good to be 4-2. It feels good to be relevant early in a season, you know, with this Bears game getting shifted to the, you know, the better window with Nance and Romo. They're good. They're good. They're not great. They're good. The quarterback's great.
I think they're really good. You know, we might find that out in the weeks ahead, but it's kind of where I'm leaning at this point. Defensively, they're certainly not, but offense matters way more in this league. What do you make of Sunday? You are Kevin Smeltest Sheehan, after all. There's spots where you'll say, I don't love this, or, you know, this one worries me a little bit, and you're often right on those. I mean, do you fear this matchup that everyone's just kind of putting in Sharpie as a decided victory already?
Well, let me just tell you, it's the wrong time to ask me, because it was the biggest bloodbath for kind of contrarian bettors ever. The public had the best day
they've had. Rough week on the smell test?
Dude, I was going to ask about the smell test this week. It was not good. It didn't smell good, yes.
The worst Sunday I've ever had, but it goes hand in hand. It was the worst Sunday the sports books have had, and they, you know, some people say in over a decade. I watched Carolina. You did too, Grant. We were scouting the next
opponent.
Among
other games, we were scouting the Panthers. That
late night text with emojis.
Yes.
Yeah, we're scouting the next opponent, and I think they're capable offensively. You know, Andy Dalton will put some up for grabs, but I think Hubbard can run the football. Johnson, their rookie Leggett. Like, we can't stop anybody decent. You know, Cleveland and Arizona just weren't real tests, especially when the Cardinals decided for some inexplicable reason not to run their quarterback in that game. So I'm a little bit concerned about, you know, can Carolina move the ball up and down the field? Can they keep it a game? But it's certainly a should-win game. I think the second one this year, we haven't had many of those.
Kevin, not including, you know, late second or really third day picks, fifth, sixth, seventh round, conditional picks, pick swaps, things like that to make the football team better. Should this team be spending big pick resources, like high leverage stuff, to improve the team this year because of the circumstances that they're in?
If they do, Danny, I want it to be defensively. I want them to at least get to the point where they're an average defensive team with maybe a really good pass rusher or a much better corner, where they've got a chance to grow into an average defensive team. Because history says, well, you're right, Grant, it's an offensive league. You can't be terrible on defense with a rookie quarterback and go far in the postseason. And I don't think they should treat this year as just icing on the cake. These opportunities sometimes, you know, seem like they'll be there in the future, but sometimes you look back and say we should have taken advantage of the moment, and it's a moment right now. I just don't know who to go get because we don't know the people. And we know that right now this organization is focused on the right kind of people. You know, they're trying to build a culture. They're trying to build this, you know, identity. I mean, you know, on Tell the Truth Mondays, you know, there's a lot of identity talk. Is Hassan Reddick a possibility? He would be great on the field, I think. But how would he fit in with the rest of the group? But if Adam Peters and Dan Quinn decide, look, we can win 11 or 12 games and host a playoff game or two, if we can just get a little bit better defensively, we've got the cap space, we've got some dry powder in the form of draft picks, you know, I wouldn't have any issue if they went for it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Sheehan. Kevin, thank you, buddy.
Good
catching
up.
All right, boys.
Let's get back on track with that smell test, it sounds like, this week. I didn't realize it was a rough
week. A rough one. I was going to bring it up with him. Not to Joan, but like normally it's like it's a smart way to do things, right?
Yeah.
But he was going on a show. He's like, Denton, let me say this. This is the worst smell test I've ever had. It's like a dirty diaper that's been left in the sun.
This week was really predictable in the NFL. I'm in this pool where you do straight up picks, not against the spread.
Uh-huh.
I went 14-0 this week. And in fact, this never, ever, ever happens. This is going to be the Danny Ruye breakdown of my my pickup basketball game with my box score.
Yep.
Because nobody cares about your bets or your fantasy team.
Uh-huh.
So I told Darius and Ryan this yesterday. I avoided you with it because you hate this shtick. But going into the game last night, for the tiebreaker in this pool with hundreds of people.
Okay.
I need it. Multiple. This is how you know this was just a week where everyone knew what was going to happen. There were like five of us who were all 13-0 going into Bills Jets. I needed the Bills to win, and I needed the total of the game to be exactly 43 points. Thanks for Greg Zuerlein missing two field goals.
Look at this.
The Bills won, and it was exactly 43 points. So I win the pool this week. But if it was 41 or 44, I would have missed.
You wouldn't have won. So that was the tiebreaker.
Exactly.
For 14. I got you. Wow.
The exact points on Monday Night Football.
So you won the Jordan pool this week.
So this week, the Jordan went in my favor as your boy went 14-0 with the exact number in Monday Night Football on the nose as the tiebreaker. I'll never have another week like it. And I'm still splitting the pot with another guy who did the exact same thing. I get an email from the guy this morning. I'm like, oh, I'm getting all the money. He's like, actually, first time ever we're going to split the pot. Both of you guys had the same tiebreaker.
14-0 with the same tiebreaker. What are we doing? What a weird week.
But it's not crazy to me that the odds makers took a bath, because it's not like I knew anything. I just went through and went, they'll win. It was a very predictable week. There weren't a lot of surprises is my whole point. I think most people this week probably straight up had a really good week betting football, and the odds makers don't want that very much. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We do have Austin Eckler on the show in about 40 minutes. Can't wait to talk to him next. Isn't it nice to not having an embarrassing owner in D.C.? The Cowboys, the Jets, the Panthers coming to town. Can't relate to them at this point. That's next on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Austin Eckler is on the show in a half hour. It is a Survivor Tuesday. You can go vote right now at facebook.com/Grant and Danny to kick a commander off the island and to give a commander immunity. There will only be one player left remaining, Danny, after 17 games and 18 weeks of football. Who will be the surviving commander in 2024? I think odds on right now, favorite's got to be Jaden Daniels.
He's pretty popular among the fan base, you'd say.
But I would say, oddly, I don't think he's leading in immunity. I'm pretty sure Brian Robinson's had it maybe three times. Certainly had it a couple times.
Yeah, he's had twice, I think. Frankie Louvu this past week, who was unbelievable. Not this past game that they just played, but two games ago, which is what he's got immunity based off of. Does that make sense? He was unbelievable.
Daniels could be in line for immunity this week, I guess.
You would think so. He's up there. Terry McLaurin deserves it after
a
couple
tutties.
Point. That's a good one, too.
I might vote Terry. I thought, especially because he dropped a touchdown and lost a fumble last week, to come back the way he did and make two really, really difficult catches in big spots. One moved the chains when they went and got points on like a 3rd and 5 on the sideline. Perfect ball placement from Daniels, but a better catch by McLaurin. And then the carbon copy of that was that touchdown.
Yep.
Where they were on the same page, and Terry went to the ground and made the catch basically on the chalk in a tight window throw. He was really, really good just across the board in this game.
Absolutely.
How about the hit he took from Kyle Hamilton and hung on to the ball down along the sideline, that hole shot?
Yep.
They kind of made it look like they were going to throw short on a screen, and then they get the defender to bite up. Terry runs behind him. You drop the ball into space, and Hamilton came and blew him up. They originally threw a flag and then picked it up. It was clean. But that was
it was violent.
That was a feel it Wednesday kind of hit.
Absolutely,
man.
Yeah. Get yourself to the training. Get some work done the next day. Get to the training room.
Like, why am I coughing up blood? That's not supposed to happen.
It certainly hurts. Why does it hurt on both sides?
You heard Jerry Jones today, didn't you?
I certainly did.
On Dallas radio, I was thinking about this. David Tepper's coming to the nation's capital to watch his Panthers against the Commanders. He has become the laughingstock owner in the NFL, is like pouring drinks on people or whatever he did to get in trouble a couple years ago. There was that video that came out where he like made a guy turn his hat around. He was at a restaurant. Remember that?
Of course, yeah.
He just seems like a lot to deal with, David Tepper. So you got him in Carolina. That's the opponent this week. You got the Jets and Woody Johnson, who Bill Belichick was making fun of last night on the Manning cast. Thought that was great. Basically was just joning on what a bad owner he is. But their offense stinks. Their defense is great. They fired their defensive-minded head coach and their culture builder. Was kind of done the things you brought him in to do, and you sided with the quarterback who you've empowered to run the entire building. We know about those kind of situations coming up around here. And then, of course, there is the Dallas Cowboys in the division, where their owner is also their GM.
And in a hoot.
Their owner runs the entire show. He's doing the interviews. He makes all the decisions. And I don't know what it would be like to have an owner in the NFL that gave you no chance, that you hated, but I'm glad my team doesn't have that situation.
What would it be like to have that kind of a problem? What would it be like to have that sort of issue?
Couldn't be me.
Where, I just don't even remember what it's like. But can you imagine, if you haven't heard the Jerry Jones audio, by the way, I mean, good heavens.
We should play it.
Good heavens.
So what do you have here, Darius? Is this the long clip or one of the shorter ones?
This is the long version.
Okay, so we could jump in as
It's a few minutes.
Danny, so feel free if you want to go through this with us. But this is Jerry Jones on our sister station in Dallas. And I laugh because he's on every Tuesday morning, like he's John Allen, to do his own breakdown of the game.
Like, we'll have Austin Eckler today. Compare and contrast. We've got Eckler coming up at 5.
We'll
go
over his 11 touches at the running back position.
Yeah.
One of our favorite players.
He's awesome.
But Austin Eckler. Jerry Jones does the hits in Dallas. He's the one. And he was not very happy about being questioned about how bad his roster is.
What's your point?
Let me tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
so Jerry, we're just right we're, there.
I think that's one of the things that people took great issue with.
Yeah.
Now he's not, in my opinion, suggesting he'll have the guy fired, which I've heard people say, because I don't know that he has any influence in Odyssey. I think what he's saying is, I'll go do this on another show. Right. I if you're going to be combative and not ask me nice questions and not play along and say the things I want you to say and not see it my way, I'll go on the midday show if they're going to do that, or I'll find another show. We see this in politics all the time. I'm going to sit down and talk to the people that see it my way.
Yeah, by the way, that ain't good either.
I agree. but I think that's what he's saying. I don't think he's saying, like, I'm going to have you fired, because again, he's not the PD. He's not running the Odyssey branch in Dallas. But I think he's saying, I won't do this anymore if you're going to be mean to me and not basically put me over, which makes him a gigantic sourpuss. And, oh, you already knew this, but a guy that just is a silly goose.
The tantruming is so good. I mean, again, our buddy Sean Sharif can't even get the question out. Like, hey, I just wanted to ask you about the offseason, and now some of these things are rearing their ugly head, right? So they had an offseason. You know, think about Washington's, and, like, I had questions, and they've been answered. I was wrong. They were right. People down there had questions, and all those questions were valid. Hey, we're under-talented at some spots. We can't stop anybody. We didn't spend any money. We're falling behind in the division here. Things aren't going great. What's happening? And they've been blown out twice at home, and he's going, I'll find somebody else to ask me some prearranged questions that I write down on cocktail napkins, and you can just ask me those verbatim. What?
I did not send you those questions. look at the ones I sent you.
It's not the ones we agreed upon.
You can keep going here, but Jerry Jones, this is this morning on 105.3, The Fan in Dallas, our sister station.
I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding you. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are. Or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry,
okay? Y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
What?
Now, listen, we both know we're talking to a lot of great fans and a lot of great listeners, and I am very sorry for what happened out there Sunday. I'm sick about what happened Sunday. Now, I'm not talking to these yahoos on the end of this phone. I'm talking to you, the fans that are listening this morning. And we can spend a lot of time going over zigging and zagging. One of the stupidest things I've ever done that anybody has ever analyzed is by the Cowboys. It was an idiot that did that. So idiot things can turn into good decisions. Okay? Smart things can turn into bad decisions. The facts are that when you make one, you don't really know whether it's going to be good or not at the time. So let's just go ahead. I'm trying to answer your questions, man. You want some conversation this morning? You're getting it.
Yeah, I cleared everything up for me. Now I get it. Sometimes a good decision is bad if you turn right and understand that you're supposed to go left, but you end up at a flower shop. What do you do? What are you babbling about? You boob. That is so great. So again, the idea that before I made an irresponsible fiscal decision and I own the Cowboys and it's worth more than you know the 97 countries in the world. So sometimes a bad decision could be good. Therefore, the bad decisions I made this offseason could actually be good. You don't know. You couldn't know.
If you're a fan of the Commanders, you should just hope he owns this team in perpetuity.
Just leave him in there.
He is now a disqualifying presence. You cannot win with him operating that team. You cannot. There was a time where you could have. Obviously, they proved it. And maybe he was just a better football executive or maybe more willing to empower people around him or had better other people that could say no or maybe he was more with it. I have no idea. At this point, though, he is a disqualifying presence in terms of real contention, it would appear. I mean, it was just a very strange interaction the entire morning. This was another clip from the interview with Sean and RJ down there in Dallas.
Jerry, you know, there's been a lot of talk about execution. I think you've mentioned it here already. If the execution has become a problem to the extent that you get losses like the ones against New Orleans and Detroit, why are those players still the right ones for your team?
Well, first of all, where are you going to go to get any players? Seriously, where are you going to go to get any players for the next week against San Francisco? Now, number one, I've seen these players. I've seen every one of them execute like you want the players to be executed and do their job within the role. That didn't happen the other day, and we paid the consequences for us. But I've seen the players do it. I know we have outstanding personnel. Very outstanding personnel. We just made our quarterback the highest paid player in the NFL. We've just topped the receiver list charts. So we made our bed relative to how we're going to approach with our key people with the team. We were shorthanded out there on defense, but everybody gets shorthanded. That's really not an excuse in the NFL. Your depth should step up there. And you should be able, if you can, to compensate to some degree. You can't compensate for the gap, so to speak, that we had between the way our offense played and the way we were supposed to play. I want to give Detroit a lot of credit for that. They came after us and got after us, and they put guys on top of every offensive lineman you had, and they came at it and put the kind of pressure that gave Dak a lot of problems.
I also love, by the way, and there's Jerry Jones in Dallas on 105.3. At one point at the end of the conversation, he says, another problem we had is Detroit's really good. Like, what a terrible answer that is.
That's another issue we ran into as a good team. Now, that's not going to happen to us again.
He literally was like, hopefully in the weeks ahead, Dak has a better chance against other teams. It's like, no, dude. You guys are supposed to. You're the division champs last year.
Well, that's an issue. There's a good team sometimes.
You're going to play them occasionally, Jerry. Grant and Danny on the Fan. How good does it feel to have a good ownership situation and to get to just laugh at everyone else with the bad owners around the league? Austin Eckler, top of the hour. The Commanders will be welcoming the Panthers to town on Sunday, and they are heavy favorites in that game, as you'd imagine. The line actually opened in an area where you just don't see it, around these parts. And before the public even got their hands on the line, Danny, they were 7.5, 8-point favorites in places. We'll see what the game ends up kicking off at as we get closer and closer. But we're now at a point where I think people assume and expect that when Washington plays a bad team, they're going to beat them handily. When they play a really good team, they're going to be in the game. It could go either way. Baltimore is the example. But they got a chance to win those games too. But against the Panthers, I think they can end any conversation once and for all about what are they, how good are they, what's the rest of the season going to look like. As 7.5-point favorites, they go out and win by 10 or 13 or do what they did to the Browns again at home. It's just over at that point. They're really good. Like, we should stop having any conversations right about what are they, what are we. No. They're really good. Let's focus on whatever the next thing to talk about is.
I got a couple chirp texts from my Giants fan buddy who's like, yeah, they haven't beaten anybody good. I said, well, that may be true. But this is still a departure from what was. And what that means is they have graduated to the point where it's what you just said. We now assume, rightly by the way, that when an inferior team comes to town, they're going to catch these hands. They're going to be defeated.
Catch these hands.
Right? That's what's going to happen.
That's a good bit.
Like, we are going to, the Washington is going to win that football game, and they'll probably do it decidedly. Are they good enough to really go, like, if they had a five-game stretch with Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, Houston, and pick your other really good team, would they go 5-0? No. Would they go 4-1? Probably not. Maybe 2-3, though, and that's kind of the point. That it used to be, you never know what you're going to get week to week. This might be the game where nobody shows up, Ron Rivera sits there with his arms folded and doesn't talk to the team at halftime. The following week, they might play some team well. They might play someone good, like they would beat Philadelphia even when they were 13-4 or something like that. And you didn't know. Now, there's at least some feeling of consistency where all you have to do in this league, and it sounds easy to do, it's not, it's hard to do, as evidenced by the fact that Washington hasn't had an 11-win season since 1991. But all you have to do is if you beat teams that aren't very good, you're going to end up with 9 or 10 wins. That's the league most years, right? Now, the really good teams split against some of the juggernauts, right? You beat a Baltimore, you beat Kansas City, you beat one of these really good teams, maybe you got a shot at something special. I don't think they're there yet, and I'm okay with that, by the way. Now, in 3 years, if we're looking at our watch still doing this, all right, that's different. But the fact that they can have a game where not one person listening right now thinks the Carolina is going to win, even that right there is a blessing. That's not where we were.
It's territory we're not familiar with. I'm just looking at basically teams that are respected as much as Washington. And the way I'm doing that is this week, the only other team that's a 7.5-point favorite or more is the Bills over the Titans.
Yep.
Buffalo at home is an 8.5-point favorite over a bad Tennessee team. And their quarterback, who turns the ball over too much, is playing his way right now out of that starting lineup, Will Levis. Like long term, he's proving I'm not the answer. You could have a benching there just like you did with Bryce Young in Carolina. So those are the two teams that are dogs of 7.5 or more points this week. If you look at next week, the teams that are favored by as much as Washington, it's the Ravens, it's the Lions, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. Like that's the type of respect we're talking about right now for Washington. And I think a part of it is how good their offense is. They're going to move the ball and they're going to score. It's hard, even if you're a defense first awesome team, if you're really, really good, to cover bigger numbers. But when you have the ability to score 35 every time you play, when against a bad team you can hang 40, then all of a sudden covering 7.5 is a little easier to do.
Well, I'll take my chances in a track meet. Like, Carolina can score. They can move the football, especially once Dalton has taken over. I'm not telling you this is the 99 Rams, but they're a lot better than they were with Bryce Young, dubious honor.
Andy Dalton is a pro. He is a serviceable, decent quarterback who's made Deontay Johnson a good receiver again.
Mm-hmm.
You have a chance to catch the football and do your job with him out there. You didn't with Bryce Young. Although there was a hilarious clip, I don't know if you saw this. Did you see the clip of, it'll be in my audio vault this week, but of Mark Sanchez calling the Falcons-Panthers game this week?
No, I didn't.
So they it's so good. They show Bryce Young on the sideline, and he's like, and there's Bryce Young. You know, he's learning from Andy Dalton, and it's just really good to be right behind a pro. And he snaps the ball, and Dalton throws to the sideline. Terrible pass. Pick six.
In that moment,
The guy slides to the ground because of the clock, but it should have been a pick six. But literally, what Sanchez is going, he goes, he gets to sit behind Dalton, who's a real pro, who's going to show him, oh, boy. And it's like right there.
What's he going to show him?
It's a pick six. It was just funny timing.
That's good. But, you know, I like a couple of pieces that Carolina has. They're not good. I'm not telling you they are. Defensively, they're rotten and awful. So if you get into a game like that where they're a poor man Cincinnati, basically, is the way I'd think of it, right? Like Cincinnati, that offense is good. Joe Burrow's going to throw for a million yards, a million touchdowns, but they couldn't stop a light breeze. Carolina's a worse version of that. So if you get into a game with a team that can't stop anybody, let's go Washington. I'll take that. Now, you get into one where a team like Baltimore that, you know, you don't really want to go punch for punch with them, you may not say, hey, you know, they could cover that spread, but you're right. A team that's going to score in the 30s has a chance to cover bigger spreads.
Let's talk to Austin Ekeler. We will do that next on Grant and Danny. There's a lot to ask him about. I can't wait to talk to him about the flea flicker screen pass that he was a part of. But they lost for the first time in 5 weeks. What's the mood been like around the team? How do they move on without a leader like John Allen? We will get to all of those things with Ekeler next on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.